Welcome back to The State of Belief. I'm Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch. With me is American Library Association President Sam Helmick. And I want to talk a lot about, you know, what September is, which is, I'm going to look what I'm holding up. I have my New York Public Library card in my hand. That was the easiest thing to get in the world. I just signed up and they gave it to me, and I love this card, and it is so great. And I'm so proud of this library that we have in my neighborhood in Chelsea that has just reopened like 2 weeks ago. I went in there yesterday, packed, literally every table. And then some kids walked by and they went to the second floor. Tell me what this is. This September is library card sign-up month.
It's been around since 1987, when Secretary of Education William Bennett really stated that, you know, let's have a campaign where every child should obtain a library card and use it, because the possibilities are endless with a library card. But just to your point too, Paul, it's endless possibilities for any stage of learning you are in life.
I mean, isn't it incredible? I do some writing, and sometimes I just don't want to be in my house writing. I'm just like, that's too familiar. I go to a library and I'm just around people who are in a kind of a, you can feel the energy of people. You know, some people, it's just they want to read the newspaper, and that's where they get the newspaper. For some people, it's they're doing research. For other people, like their kids are, it's amazing. So these places and a card is like, the great thing is that no one cards you when you walk in. You don't need this card to walk in. That's a huge thing in New York. In New York, to have a location where you walk in and you get to take a seat. Wow, that's crazy. But that's everywhere. You walk in and you belong. I mean, this is what libraries can be. And so I just love it, because this is part of my background. I'm very interested in how faith informs people like yourself and others to be a part of libraries, but the broader democratic project of America. What is your religious background? How did that influence where you are today?
I think that it is super influential. I remember when I was going to West Avenue Baptist School in Burlington, Iowa, as a fourth grader, talking about, and the word was made flesh, you know, or also God spoke. And I really loved the concept of there being like life in language and living words. And so I think I've been a little bit preoccupied with that from the very beginning. But I also just love the fact that the First Amendment defends speech, assembly, press, and religion. We're all kind of on that First Amendment platform together. And I think that the more that we learn from each other and support each other, the stronger and more practiced robustly that First Amendment becomes.
Mm, yeah. One of the reasons that I wanted to reach out to the American Library Association and libraries in general is that I did feel like religion, unfortunately, was beginning to be used as a pretext for censorship. You and I can like talk and just have our hearts like alive talking about libraries. And then at the same time, people out there, unfortunately, too often using religion as a weapon or as a rationale, are attacking libraries and attacking librarians, because they are sharing exactly these stories that reflect the broader community. And, you know, I'm sorry, but we got to get into it, because this is a reality right now. And I honestly, maybe there has been an equally bad time, but I don't remember it, you know, and I'm 61 now. I'm beginning to be one of those old people who can start saying, I don't remember a time like this. You know, I mean, I asked my dad when he was 95 about that, and he even said it. But so talk to me as best you can about, let's start with feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's okay to actually like, you know, we can get into theory and we can get into all the rest of it, but what does it feel like to you, given your background, given your like your commitments to the wide-ranging stories, what does it feel like to you when you see your colleagues and the institution of libraries attacked in this way, to censor things, to take stories off the shelves, all of that? What does it feel like to you?
To be completely blunt, Paul, it's kind of heartbreaking and it's twofold, right? Because I've shared a little bit of my history and I was taught what to think versus how to think. So there have been a lot of social and cultural memos and growing pains throughout much of my adult life simply because I have to find comfort in the not knowing or addressing information or content or knowledge that might counter my own system of beliefs. And that's actually part of life and learning. And so I'm really grateful that I found libraries because I think it's enhanced my faith and my ability to explore that. So when I see libraries, you know, when I see these two communities that I care about deeply kind of coming in antagonism instead of collaboration and good faith, understanding, and support, it breaks my heart because both you see an institution that is the foundation of democracy kind of being mischaracterized often or misunderstood or mistrusted when librarians are often one of the most trusted faces of local government and are needed to be that because they serve so many causes. And then you also see communities who may no longer feel like libraries are their spaces, which is sad twofold, right? Because they lose that access. They bar themselves from that access and that exploration and that wonder. But without that little kid handing me the tarantula, without the actual human being in the library with me, my story doesn't happen. And so they can't contribute to the stories that need to happen in our libraries. My heart breaks about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very, frankly, it's a very generous perspective because what you're bringing up is that when people decide to take on a library or feel like it's a bad place for their community, they're absenting themselves from opportunity. It's not just their, you know, I mean, I focus a lot on the fact that they're trying to suppress other people's ability to find stories, but equally sad and frightening is that they're absenting themselves from being part of a wider conversation that could be benefiting the whole.
Right. And for the history of libraries, particularly with the Library Bill of Rights, our practices, procedures, and policies have been a collaborative effort with the communities we serve. We operate as library workers in a lot of trust. And so to lose that relationship or to have that relationship erode is a pity.
Up next, much more with Sam Helmick. You can hear full episodes of The State of Belief anytime on our website at stateofbelief.com. You'll also find links to topics we discussed this week, as well as transcripts and more. And make sure you subscribe, share, and rate The State of Belief at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. You're listening to The State of Belief, where religion and democracy meet.